It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Friday, January 29th. I'm Patricia Naft. The Montrose Regional Airport hit a milestone recently. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
There were over 100,000 departures and over 100,000 arrivals. It's the highest traffic count the airport has ever seen. This is Montrose County Commissioner Glenn Davis. He says it's not just good news for the airport, it's good news for the whole area.
Whether it be Paonia or Delta or Montrose, Ouray, Ridgeway, as you increase the number of people, and a lot of this is going to the North Fork Valley or going to Telluride or whatever, when you increase the number of people, then what they're going to do, or whatever they're visiting, or whatever their idea is, you increase employment. Because if they're going to go hunting in the Paonia area, for instance, and we're pulling more people in, then they're paying somebody up there to hunt. Or even if they're hunting on public ground and camping out, they've got to have gasoline, groceries, whatever. If I can drive your economy up, the amount of money that's being spent in your community because of more people coming to the area, we can create more jobs.
Davis says the main reason for the large gains the airport's seen is Colorado's Flights Alliance, a group that collects money to pay airlines to fly to Montrose Regional Airport.
But they get that from businesses in Telluride, Crested Butte, different places, different businesses in their area and our area that is contributing to Flight Alliance. And they make these deals with these airlines, and they come in. And then pretty soon, they get up enough that they're self-sufficient. A lot of these airlines that are flying in here just in the winter, they've got enough passengers coming and going that we're not having to pay for it.
With MTJ becoming more and more popular, Davis says the airport might have to think about expanding.
For the fourth year in a row, spruce beetle was the most widespread and destructive pest to Colorado forests. That's according to a recent state and federal report. KVNF's Laura Pomisano has more.
The Colorado State Forest Service and the U.S. Forest Service work together on an annual aerial survey that monitors the health of the state's forests. The survey provides a snapshot of how pests and disease are affecting millions of acres. Dan West, an entomologist with the State Forest Service, says spruce beetle outbreaks continue to plague high-elevation Engelmann spruce stands.
It's impacted more than 1.5 million acres since 1996. In 2015, it impacted about 409,000 acres statewide.
The report says wind events that knock down trees create habitat for the insects. That, combined with long-term drought, warmer temperatures, and dense older-growth spruce, is contributing to the epidemic. Spruce beetle isn't the only thing spreading. West says outbreaks of western spruce budworm that feeds on conifer trees also expanded.
That pest has impacted about 312,000 acres in 2015. It's a significant increase over the previous year, and so it's just about doubled.
Douglas fir tussock moth and mountain pine beetle also continue to affect forests in Colorado. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Colorado is near the bottom when it comes to providing food stamps to residents who are eligible to apply for them. KUNC's Luke Runyon has more.
The nonprofit advocacy group Hunger Free Colorado says Colorado's system of delivering SNAP benefits, also known as food stamps, ranks 46th in the nation. Kate Blackford is the group's public policy director.
The challenge is that in Colorado we have a county-based system and we have a state agency that is understaffed in terms of serving those counties.
Blackford says some counties do a good job of getting eligible people enrolled in the program, while others employ complicated and ineffective programs. She says the new data is meant to share best practices with those poor-performing counties. For KUNC, I'm Luke Runyon.
A bill aimed at improving public awareness to tire tread laws along Interstate 70 cleared its first committee this week. As Benta Berkland reports, it faces an uphill battle in the Senate.
Numerous accidents and closures happen each winter because of poorly maintained tires. House Bill 1039 would allow the Colorado Department of Transportation and State Patrol to put up warning signs about tire tread laws earlier. Groups representing citizens and businesses, including Brendan McGuire with Vail Resorts, testified in support of the bill.
Of course, there are no silver bullets when it comes to highway congestion, but we need to keep working on I-70 improvements, and this is one step that we can take now to address what is a known issue for I-70 travelers.
Democratic sponsor Diane Mitchbush of Steamboat Springs says there's a time lag between when conditions deteriorate and when signs are posted. But Republican John Becker of Fort Morgan isn't convinced the bill is necessary and voted no.
I mean, we're already educating. I hear these all the time. So until an incident happens, you're doing the same thing we're doing now.
The Republican chair of the Senate Transportation Committee also feels the proposal isn't needed, which means it's unlikely to pass that chamber. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Deadlines are up for entries into the municipal elections across the Western Slope. Several towns have multiple seats open on their Board of Trustees or City Council. In Delta, three seats are open, one for District A and B, the northern part of the city, and one for the city at large. Ron Austin is running unopposed for District A, and Gerald Roberts is running unopposed for District B. Right now, Wilford Matthews and Christopher Ryan are both competing for the at-large seat. Daniel McFarland submitted his petition, but due to some errors, it is currently in a 5-day grace period to collect the required number of signatures. In Montrose, the city has three seats open. Judy Ann Files, an incumbent, is running unopposed in District 4, and Roy Anderson is running unopposed in District 3. Marge Morgenstern and Dave Bowman are both running for the at-large seat. Out in Lake City, four seats are up for grabs, although one of them will only be for 2 years. There are five people competing for the seats: Judd Hollingsworth, the incumbent Michelle Pierce, Henry Woods, Marty Priest, and Jeff Heaton. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.